Welcome to the Gamers Inn. Come on in, pull up a chair next to the fire. It looks like you've had a long journey. I'm your host, Jocelyn, and joining me, as always, is my co-host, Ryan. Hello, Ryan.
Hello. Welcome back.
Welcome back. Makes it sound like we were gone. Were we gone? No, we were here last week.
We never left. If anything, this week has just flown by.
That is true. We played a lot of games on Thursday. It was pretty fun. Did some Diabloing. Mm-hmm. Finally got up to some level of stuff.
Did you guys go much farther after I left?
No. We quit when you left. Oh. We just stopped. Well,
thank you. I didn't know I was...
It wasn't worth playing without you, so we just had to let it go.
Is it just me, or does it feel like everybody's heart is empty right now? I think Ryan left, so maybe we should...
The heart of the team is gone, so we should just call it a night, guys.
You got to play adventure mode, though. That was fun.
Yeah, that was interesting.
You didn't use the word fun. Well,
it wasn't what I thought it was going to be. It was and I think maybe what I'm thinking of is Rifts versus Adventure Mode. Mm-hmm. Because Rifts, that's like a boss fight, right? Or did we do one of those?
We did. We did do them. The Rift, I think we did two of them where you go through a portal in your hometown and then you just kill monsters until the bar fills up and then a boss spawns.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So that was the Rift.
Yes.
So then Adventure Mode was the thing with the map.
Right. Well, it's all Adventure Mode, but yes, the questing part.
See, I think this is why I'm confused.
So Adventure Mode is that you have your quest, your bounties, and that's what we were doing. I find those more entertaining than the Rifts. The Rifts just feel like I'm killing things for the sake of killing things.
Right.
The boss, when it's... I'm glad that the boss spawns a little faster than I thought it would, and I guess it's more fun with a full party like we had. But no, the bounties is what I really enjoy, where some are like super quick, you're in, you're out, you got your XP, and you're on to the next thing, and others are a little more in-depth, like similar to how the Rifts work.
Right, okay. Mm-hmm. And so I think one thing I've noticed the most about Diablo, it's fun. It's mm-hmm. great. I'm enjoying it, and I want to see where Act 5 takes me. But I find that leveling, like, I can't even remember what level I'm on. And every time I hit a level, you get, like, 3 or 4 new skills, it feels like. So my little skill thing is constantly flashing. I can never get a handle on, you know, like, what's good, what's bad. It's very similar to the actual weapons mm-hmm. in that I get a weapon or a piece of armor, and I'm like, okay, wait, is this better, worse? Like, at least even with the stuff you pick up, it has the pluses and minuses and the red and green numbers. But I feel like with the skills, I'm just like, okay, now I feel squishy, and I feel like I'm not doing as much damage, but maybe that's all in my head. Like, I find it so difficult to actually figure out, like, what skills are actually the best skills. Do you have that same sort of feeling?
Yes, this might be more my personal preference, or I could be just flat out wrong, but the way I do it is, like, when I level up, I try the new stuff, and I like, sort of drag myself through it until the next level, and then I try that new stuff, and it's almost like every 5 levels, I hit a sort of, ooh, I really love this spell, or I really love the combo that I'm getting with these 2 new spells. And I feel as though when you hit max level, like 70... you just kind of choose what you like, you know, mm-hmm. Like Josh is saying in the chat room, you know, the skills is whatever you want to do, in the sense that you just do what works for you. So mm-hmm. in the Crusaders point of view, like, we all love the, you know, rise up into the air and land on the ground. You know, I might
Falling
prefer
sword.
Exactly. I always call it Titanfall, but, you know,
that's so wrong.
Yeah, it is. See, that's one where I'm flat out wrong, even though it is my personal opinion. But I might like the sword fall.
Falling sword.
Falling sword, thank you. The one where, like, when you fall and then there's, like, a burning ring
there's
of fire.
There's a sword.
Oh, is there one with a sword? I don't know. I usually go with the one that is a Johnny Cash song. But, you know, so there's that difference. And neither one is really right. It's just, you know, our personal preference. So I guess we were going pretty quick last night, so it was really, we were really hard pressed to be like, okay, guys, let's stop, and I need to sort out whether these new skills suck or not, so I can roll back. So you usually end up just going with it, and you know, some levels you're rocking it and some levels you're dying.
I think that my big problem with Act 5 so far is that I'm so squishy. When I first tried to do it, I was level 47. You should not try to do it by yourself at level 47.
Right.
It is not made for level 47 characters with level 47 gear. It is made for characters that are level 60.
Okay. Yeah, I experienced that. I had to knock it down to hard. We were playing on expert, right?
We were, yeah.
Yeah, when I played solo, my guy was a level 60 or so. And even on expert, I was dying a lot. And the Demon Hunter is squishy by nature. You know, it's not just that I didn't have the proper min-maxing, but I had to kick it down a notch. And then even I had to have a friend come in and help me with the final boss. Like, though, Act 5, I've always said, is the bosses are less tank and spank and more, you know, DPS, get out of the way, DPS, get out of the way. There's a lot of avoidance, and especially with that fire boss where...
That fire boss made me so... Even when it was, like, me and you and who else was in with us? Josh and... Was it Veth?
Yes, Veth Red, yeah.
Yeah. So the four of us were in there. All of you guys have, like, 30 Paragon levels or more. I have none. I was level, I think, 52 by that point. And again, like, I started the night at 50, I think. I ended the night around, like, 54, I think. I feel like leveling is just not as, like, huzzah! It's like it happens so often, and there's so much tied to it that it just, it's like, well, I'll deal with that later. So I'm not even 100% sure what level my character's at. Mm-hmm. But I died 3 times, 4 times in that friggin' fire boss fight. Yeah. Everyone's like, oh, Jocelyn's dead again. Oh, Jocelyn's dead again.
Yeah, we restrained ourselves.
GIS gamer is down.
From doing exactly that. We were pretty good on that front. But yeah, you know, you're going to die. It's we didn't kick it down. We were expert.
Yeah, we kept it up on expert, yeah.
And, you know, that's what having friends are for, right? You go down, one of us... I went down too, I died. Let's not...
That's true.
Let's not just but then, blame see, you.
But you had the next least amount of Paragon levels. Like... Yes. I had 0, you have 30, and then, or 31, something like that, and I think the next one was maybe like 80?
Yeah, I mean, there's no shame in kicking the level, the difficulty down. I mean, expert is, hard is just as good, right? Like, you're just looking to get through the content, right? You're not looking to get, oh, I'm going to get some fat loot at the end. Because well, the loot is where loot, adventure though. Mode is. Like,
yeah, I guess so. And the other thing is, I had all of my gems in strength. I did not have any diamonds. I was all rubies. So I was just like, and then afterwards, after we finished playing and stuff, everyone gave me tips about, you know, how I should have my gems and stuff. And I was like, really? Because I was looking at those diamonds and I was like, psh, elemental resistance. Who needs that? Like, maybe when you're fighting the fire boss.
Yeah, I stack strength too. So I'm not, like I said, I'm not a min-maxer. Like, I get it in my head that, oh, well, strength equals damage. That's what I want to
exactly.
do, right?
Exactly.
I am not that guy that has, like, a spreadsheet with, like, okay, if I have my head slot with my, that's not even, like, my resistance, then I can put strength in my weapon. And no, I'm just throwing red at all that stuff.
You know? Exactly. Me too. And it just makes it so easy. And then you hover over the gems and it says, like, weapon bonus this much. And I'm like, well, it's in a weapon. And an armor, and another armor, and a couple rings. So that's got to be good, right?
Yeah. You just got red bling
Exactly.
Over.
I'm sparkly.
Yeah. I mean, if Diablo had, like, a teeth slot, you just have, like, a whole bunch of rubies in there. And whenever you go around and you smile, you just be sparkling.
But yeah, so that's what we played Thursday night. And we did that because it is Diablo 3's second anniversary?
Yeah,
is that what we're celebrating?
It was the second anniversary, which again we were trying to figure it out last night. It just seems so soon, you know. Like not so soon, but just I could have sworn it was like 3 at this point, because the reason being is that Reaper of Souls came out a year. I guess. Well, no, wait. If it's the second year anniversary, I guess it'd be a year in a good almost 2 years. So I guess that is. On par. I don't know what we were thinking. We were just...
I don't know, yeah.
We were just loot happy, I guess. I don't know.
And Okay, did they change the drop rate on legendaries for the anniversary or something like that? Because I've seen so many pictures on Twitter of, like, just orange beams all over the ground. And like.
Yeah, I don't know. We didn't experience that.
No, we did not.
We got a bunch of plans. Like, every time, ooh, legendary. Oh, it's just some plans.
That's a plan.
Yeah, I guess they increased the legendary drops by 100%. So you were 100% more likely to get a legendary drop. Now, I don't think... We got some. There were more than normal, but
true.
Didn't feel like we had that, oh my god, legendary, look at this, guys, and link it to everybody.
Yeah, I've kind of had that feeling with any of the legendaries I've picked up, and again, I'm picking up legendaries at lower levels. They're not like end game legendaries, but I feel like I pick them up and then I'm like, in some cases they're even like -3 damage and then +10% healing or something, and I'm just like, really, you're supposed to be legendary and you're not as good as the blue thing I'm carrying right now.
Exactly. Orange should be better than blue.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know, I had that issue too, and I was like, I don't want to replace my legendary with a blue just because he gives me a little more damage. I want to have legendaries.
This is the thing, though. Like, I already was carrying the blue, and I picked up a legendary, so I can kind of understand if you out-level your legendary. That, to me, makes sense. But if I'm going in and a legendary is dropping, then it shouldn't be lower level than what I'm currently carrying. That, especially when I'm the lowest level person in the party, I should be, like, rocking it with the legendaries.
Yeah. Orange all over the place.
Exactly.
Yeah, I don't know. Well, sometimes it's worth replacing them with the legendary if the what you're losing isn't too great, because sometimes you gain those, like, oh, +60 damage to your sword reign.
This is, I'm so guilty of all of it. Like, I feel like there's gonna be hardcore Diablo people that are gonna listen to this and be like, no, what are you doing? But I never read that. I always just go by, like, the pluses and minuses down at the bottom. I'm going through the game too quickly. I'm always with friends and they want to keep going, so I'm just like, okay, green pluses, equip. Okay,
well, red, that's what they're for.
No. Exactly.
But if they're all pluses, it's like winning the lottery. It's like getting 777s on a slot machine. It's great.
Exactly. But then, you know what I mean? Like, then there's these other things that say, like, oh, increased critical strike chance or this much extra shadow damage or whatever. And I'm just like, whatever. I guess that's better. There's green pluses. Chat room is face palming.
Yeah. I don't know. We don't...
And raging.
Jeez. Chat room. Evidently, we need to learn how to... Someone send me a spreadsheet. Explode, yep. You get on that? Send me a spreadsheet.
Yep. All the spreadsheets. Yep. You know what doesn't need spreadsheets? Smite.
No, it doesn't. Well, depends.
I'm sure there's people that play it with spreadsheets. I don't play it with spreadsheets.
Now we're going to get the Smite hate. People are just coming out like, of course you need a spreadsheet.
Yeah, why are you not using a spreadsheet? Because I don't buy my items. I let the system auto-buy my items, and it's fabulous.
Don't say that.
Yes.
I feel like not min-maxing in Diablo is on par with not buying your items in Smite.
I know. I feel like I'm just going to get all the rage this week. Yeah. But that's okay, because I have been loving Smite, and I haven't actually played with anyone since the last time you and I played together. Mm-hmm. But I have been playing practice mode so much. Oh. I am nearing, I think, maybe expert on Raptor just with my Smite time. Like, whoa. It's pretty crazy. So I'm loving it. I'm learning new heroes, learning new play styles. Like, oh man, it's so much fun. I finally figured out how to push with my pusher character.
Oh, okay. The Nuwa?
Nuwa, yeah.
So how are you digging, like, I can't remember if we talked about this last week, but you purchased the $30 pack, right?
I did.
Yeah, so you enjoying that investment so far? Have you kind of branched out into other gods?
I am really enjoying it. Because I've been playing one-on-one practice mode, I've been able to get better at that one character that I really, really like, that Nuwa character. And she's like this, like, I think she's the goddess of heaven or something in Chinese mythology. And she's got, like, all these different crystals that you activate by using different powers that give you different buffs. And, like, oh, it is complicated, but once you get the hang of it, it's so much fun. And then... I've also been playing Aphrodite a little bit, practicing with her. I also tried I feel like maybe it might be the new god that came out. The undead guy or something. I tried him for a bit. I think I tried 5 or 6 different gods this week that I hadn't tried before. And, like, oh, man, so much fun. I want to go play right now. See ya.
Well, we'll play after the show.
We will play after the show.
I don't know if we're streaming it. We'll probably stream it.
We'll stream it. Come on.
Smite. Wow, that's good. I haven't touched it since, last Friday when we were up till, like, 3 in the morning.
Oh, my God, yeah. You were up till 3 in the morning? I was up until 7:30 in the morning.
What is wrong? No wonder I saw Joel pancake pictures at 2 p.m. At 2 p.m. Which, if you don't follow him on Instagram, you're probably wondering what the hell I'm talking about. But he makes pancakes.
So, we played Smite until, I think, it was about 3 o'clock in the morning my time. I was like, okay, I'm going to go to bed. Like, good night. Everyone's going to bed. Good night, good night, good night. And then I just check my email before bed. And I always check my email before bed. And it said, oh, Willy Dills SF has gone live. And I was like, oh, cool. I'll pop in and say hi to Dills before I go to bed. So I pop in and he's like, oh my gosh, Allison, you have to come play all the things. So I played all the things. Played Hearthstone. And then after Hearthstone, we did an arena run, again in Hearthstone, and then we decided, because I was telling him how awesome Smite was and trying to get him to play Smite.
Oh.
And then I was just like, you know, Smite really makes me want to get into WoW and do this and do PvP, because I was like, you know, I love Smite so much, I just want to PvP, but I never have anyone to PvP with, and he's like, PvP with me, and I was like, okay. And then so from like 5 a.m. to like 7:30 a.m. we PvP'd in WoW very badly.
Oh, okay.
And he's like, hey, have you ever done Arena? I'm like, what's Arena? He's like, we're queued for it now. Arena's not fun. Battlegrounds are my safe place. And that should tell you something. So Arenas are not good.
Explode says this was fueled by a certain beverage.
Yes.
Okay, good. Well, I was going to ask how you stay up so late, but I mean, the last time I stayed up that late,
years.
I was either doing it for charity or I was pissed drunk. So,
yeah. Which I think might be the key for Extra Life next year. Get pissed drunk.
Yeah, if you could stay up for 24 hours to get drunk, you could stay up for 24 hours for charity. Come on.
Exactly.
Well, if James is helping us organize it again this year, which I assume he is because, hey, he has to now because I said it on the air. he'll join right in with you.
Yeah, absolutely. And the one thing that we didn't get to play was Heroes of the Storm because I'm still not in the alpha.
Yeah, saw that Bilvin in the chat room. I mean, he's got some weird snide emoticon as he says, "I've been playing Heroes of the Storm." Yeah. It's a bunch of invites must have went out again because
again I got missed.
Yeah, so did I. I wasn't in there. I won't get in until probably beta.
That's kind of what I'm thinking.
That's why Smite is so great, is because we were pitying it, saying, oh, let's find something to replace this hole.
This void that I didn't even know I had in my life.
Exactly.
Until I didn't get into Heroes.
Just because we can't play it, it's the best thing ever, right? So now that we have Smite, it's like every time we feel like we want to play Heroes of the Storm, it's like, wow, all right, Smite, that's fun. Let's do that. And just play Smite. So Heroes what? Yeah, come on.
Exactly. But I was going to say, but other than that, I haven't played much this week.
That sounds like a lot more than I did. I didn't play any games this week.
I also played Link Between Worlds, got stuck again, and put it back down, so.
Was that the point when you picked up your 3DS to buy Mario Golf, and then you saw that you still haven't beaten Link Between Worlds?
Yeah, and I was like, it told me some system update or something, and then I didn't have Wi-Fi, and then I tried to go to Nintendo, and I tried to buy Mario Golf, and it didn't really work, and I was just like, this is dumb, I might as well just play Link Between Worlds. So I played it for a little bit, and then I started to get to the ice castle spot, and then I got hit off a platform by some big ice statue thing about 18 times, and then I was like, fuck this, smash!
That's an expensive smash.
Yeah, I didn't actually smash it. I wanted to.
That's unfortunate. That game was delightful.
Yeah.
Zelda games just don't like you anymore, evidently.
No, but the thing is, though, Link Between Worlds, I'm still enjoying because it's challenging. I would rather a challenging Zelda game than Skyward Sword, because Skyward Sword was just too kiddy and too hand-holdy. I'd rather get my ass kicked by Link than, you know, have everything just handed to me. But the reason I only spent like one day playing Link Between Worlds, which was Monday, was because War Crimes, yay, came on Tuesday. So every spare minute I've had has been reading that book. I am three quarters of the way through.
Wow.
I love Christy Golden. She's my favorite ever. She's so good. Like, that woman can write Warcraft like nobody's business.
So she just does the novels then, right? Does she? I wonder if she does any, like, in-game writing at all.
I don't know if she does. She definitely does the novels. She also wrote Rise of the Horde, which is my, up until this point, favorite novel. And I think it's going to remain my favorite. War Crimes is really, really good and wraps up the story of Mists of Pandaria. And then kind of Rise of the Horde is really good background for Warlords.
Sure.
But, and she wrote them both. She writes orcs very well. So I'm really enjoying it. It's great. I can't wait to finish it and then listen to the interview because, Scott interviewed her for the instance.
Mm-hmm.
So I know they didn't get into spoilers, but still at the same time, I'd like to know the book before I listen to the interview. So, if you haven't read it yet, War Crimes by Christy Golden is the Warcraft book that wraps up Mists of Pandaria, and Rise of the Horde, also by Christy Golden, both excellent reads. You guys should pick them up. So what have you been playing this week?
I haven't been reading. That's unfortunate. But I had said before that every time you talk about a Warcraft book, it's like, ah, man, I wish I had not only the self-control, but also the time to read.
Cause it's my commute. It's having, I have 45 minutes each way, so that's like an hour and a half every day to read. And I am also an extraordinarily fast reader, which Joel gets so mad at me all the time for, because I literally got my Warcraft book when I was already home on Tuesday night and I'm almost done. And he's like, look, how are you getting through this content? I'm like, reading?
It's not a race, Jocelyn.
Everything is a race and everything is a competition.
Is it a race if you're not racing anybody?
I'm racing against the internet and all of the spoilers.
Oh, I guess. That is...
In a constant race with the internet.
In that sense, it pays to be quick then.
Yep.
Yeah. No, that's good. But I really wish I could... I even have like a something you'd think I'd be aiming to read. I have like the Walking Dead compendium on my coffee table. And it's like, I got to read this.
What's
before...
the compendium?
It's like the first 50 issues in like a giant like book like this. It's really heavy.
Oh, yeah, I've already read that. I think I'm on issue like 100.
Oh, my God. Now, see, now it's literally a race. And you're
it is a race.
Ah, oh, damn it. It's like she could spoil everything. Well, yeah, a lot of things.
I know all the things.
Well, the cover spoils it, so.
Well, that's true. I find the covers and the names of things, having watched the TV show, are huge, huge spoilers. But anyways, this isn't the Walking Dead show. Ryan has another show for that.
It's not. Yeah, we'll talk about that later when I get around to playing Walking Dead Episode 3. But I did not get to play that. But last week I was talking about my urge to play like a third-person RPG Dragon Age / Mass Effect style game. Do you remember that conversation?
I do remember that conversation.
And I happened to mention a game by the name of Bound by Flame, which was out last week,
right,
and getting mixed reviews.
So that's where I heard about it. Because I was like, Joel said something about how he saw it, and I was like, oh, this is vaguely ringing a bell. I wonder who told me about it.
I wonder. It's gotten really bad reviews and semi-okay reviews, but I'm not interested in playing the next Dragon Age. I'm going to do that in October. I'm just interested in having a game that scratches that itch that I've been trying to get at for like the longest time. So I'm not going to go into the details of the game because it is kind of like a generic sci-fi with combat similar to like The Witcher in turn, and there's three different combat styles.
I have that, but I still haven't played it.
Yeah, see, in that sense, if you were having the same craving as me, I'd say go play The Witcher. Do not play Bound by Flame because it's your Witcher's
that
better.
Good, eh?
No, I'm actually really enjoying it. I once you start to understand the combat system, it can be very frustrating. But once you get into it, it's pretty much just like stab, stab, dodge. But the story's interesting. You play a character that you create, and you're fighting off the undead army. And as you're fighting off the undead army, the sorcerers you're trying to protect are trying to do some magic to make them more powerful. To, again, generic fantasy schlock, but trying to make your army more powerful to take on the undead. And what happens is they unleash a demon that lives inside you. And
okay.
Yeah. So you have a demon inside you, which gives you fireball power.
Ah, I want fireball power.
Yeah, so do I. But, I mean, I don't really want a demon living inside of me, because what happens is, as you progress through the game, you have story choices, meaningful story choices, where you can say, you know, the demon's like, hey, I can help you with this problem you're having, but you have to
okay, give me... fireball!
Well, exactly.
Done! That, choice made!
You would make that choice, but what happens is, you have to give up a portion of your mind for that demon to sort of, like, get more breathing room. It's like, right now, he's kind of scrunched in like this, and he can't really help you push fireballs out. So, like, if you give him a little more room, he can, you know, stretch a little bit and breathe. And then you can do bigger fireballs.
And then I get fireballs?
You okay. Get bigger fireballs. You already had fireballs. But I didn't do that. I'm the schmuck who goes back to town to get a potion from the elf to do exactly what, like, so rather than just walking into the cave and becoming evil, you walk back to town, get the potion, and then, you know, come back.
And then come back. So exactly. What I'm hearing is, you're wasting your life, and you should have just fireballed.
Well, no. You're not wasting your life, you're wasting your time. There's a difference.
Which is your life, because
time is money. there's something in there. So it's satisfying, that itch, and I'm probably going to play through it and finish it, because Dragon Age comes out in October. But, you know, it's got like the voice act, the trees of dialogue, where okay. you can talk to your characters, and you can go in depth with your characters and kind of like stop what you're doing, turn around and be like, hey, I have a couple questions for you. Okay, what is this temple? And this is literally like kind of how the voice acting works. It's not the greatest. The temple, but then they get into the lore, and then suddenly the voice actors care about what they're reading, and it's like, the temple is this and that, and it's all so great, and here's really what happened, and I was like, oh, that's interesting. But I think the way they stitched the voice acting together is kind of weird.
They probably have generic, like, male voice says yes, male voice says no.
Yeah, you can choose just, between a male and female, and they have voice acting, full voice acting for both sexes. So that's good. For a small game like this, it's actually really cool the amount of work they put into it, because it's a fairly well thought out game. Like, the upgrade systems are really cool. The leveling systems really. There's multiple leveling systems where you get points for your skills, and then you get points for perks, and you can save up your perk points to like unlock more powerful perks. So as opposed to unlocking like a level 1 perk that gives you like an extra 10 health, you can save up 3 points and unlock a perk that, you know, increases your XP earning by 50% like throughout the game. So
very cool.
It's interesting, and again, like, it's satisfying that itch. And I was trying to think of the best like food metaphor to describe it, because that seems to be the thing I do. And it's kind of like craving ice cream, but you have to eat it with a fork, you know?
Oh, I was going to say craving ice cream, but then all you have is frozen yogurt. Not the same.
But, well, okay, that's probably, you're good at this. That's probably better.
I am so good at this.
That's probably food. Better. I mean, yeah, like, you know, you want ice cream, but there's only, should have consulted you on this beforehand, because technically what I was thinking is like a fork works until it starts to melt, and it's like, oh, this becomes a chore. So, but yeah, that frozen yogurt one works. Nah, I'm enjoying it, and I'll play some more of it, but I think it's like $40 on PC, and it's probably one of the I think it's the first RPG to come out on the PS4. So they're smart on that end to get ahead of all those other titles and kind of have that plant that flag to make a little extra money. No, I'm enjoying it. If you're looking for that kind of game and you don't want to replay any of your other favorite RPGs, definitely check out Biome by Flame.
Cool. And you've also been playing on your 3DS as well, and I wanted to get into this, but like we touched on before, couldn't get Nintendo to work.
Yeah, so I have some sad news to report, everybody. The Gamers Inn Cup was a huge success. However,
I was like, why is that sad news?
I'm getting to it. It was dominated by the one and only Josh.
Aww.
In the chat room. He dominated. Minus 17, making us all look like schmucks. Getting minus 10.
I was going to say, I think I saw you post your score at minus 10.
Exactly. I thought I was a shoo-in.
He was one under mm-hmm. on every hole except one.
Yeah.
Did an 18-hole tournament?
I think so. So.
What do you mean you think so? Didn't you play it and organize it? Come on, Ryan.
Holes were there? It was an 18-hole course. And yes, he might have gotten some eagles. He might have and some bogeys. I don't know. I didn't watch his ghost data. I think he studied the enemy. He went in there and watched everyone's ghost data. It's like, okay. No. Josh just it pointed something out to me on Twitter and said that you can repost your score as, oh, it's minus 18. Oh, thanks, Josh. Here I am trying to make me look better, and he's there. Ah, well. No, but it was a lot of, in all seriousness, it was a lot of fun, and Josh made a good point that you can actually repost your score. You can keep trying and just get the best score submitted.
Okay.
Which is
what
nice.
What happens if you have minus 17, and then you play, and then you get, like, plus 17 because you just have a really bad match? Then does it overwrite your old score or keep your best score?
I think you can choose to not upload, therefore not posting, but I'm sure if you decided to post it, it would overwrite your old score.
Right.
But I don't know. I don't know if someone would
post a score like plus 17.
funny you mentioned that. It could have been Dave Salesgee. He posted a plus 10.
Oh, did he?
But I think he did that. I don't know. I never talked to him, but yeah, he okay, so he's got some work to do, so he'll be able to make up for that in the next tournament, which I am coining the Gamers Inn Cup, because there's only so many characters, and I just thought the Gamers Inn Cup just works so well. So we have another tournament we're running until next Friday at 6, and we'll keep doing this until it's not
fun. Until no one's playing anymore?
Yeah, we had about, I think we had 4 people join us, so I want to see if we can get a few more in there.
Well, I'll be in next week, I promise.
Oh, you're going to pick it up? Cool.
I tried to pick it up last week. It's my Club Nintendo things being a jerk.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Club Nintendo.
It doesn't like any of my codes for anything. Keeps telling me I've already done stuff. Like, it's like, oh, you've already redeemed this code. But then at the same time, it's like, you have 0 points. Like, you're a big jerk.
Oh. Yeah, that sucks. Oh, Josh in the chat room says it's another good reason to repost your score is that every time you finish a tournament, you unlock an in-game item in the store that you can buy with your coins. So I find the game is really entertaining because you can just – I just booted it up again to check the score, and I saw that Nintendo had posted like 4 or 5 new tournaments.
Oh, cool.
So there's always like reason to go in there and play games, but it's still arcade golf, so it's not like every week you're going in there to do something different. You're still playing golf, but
yeah,
it's nice that they keep the type of golf that you're playing fresh.
I feel bad too because I still have Super Mario 3D Land and I have not booted it up.
Oh, you should boot that up first.
I know, but I'm just like, so many games, so little time, except for when it comes to Smite. Apparently, I have all the time in the world for that, but that's probably because I am totally rocking it on my awesome Doghouse system. So before we move on, I just want to say that Ryan and I really appreciate your continued support of our show, along with the support of our sponsor, Doghouse Systems. You can use the code THEGAMERSIN to double your RAM when you purchase a new gaming rig. Head on over to doghousesystems.com and get your order on. Which brings us to the topic of the week, which we are going to talk all about Microsoft, how they're listening and how they're announcing all the things. Ryan, do you want to take it away?
Yeah, sure. So I noticed a trend this week, and I think it's related to E3 being only 23 days from now. Can you believe that? It is almost June.
I was thinking that today when I went into work, and then everyone was like, oh, yeah, have a good long weekend. I was like, long weekend? Oh, my God, it's May 2-4. Like, it is actually more than halfway through May. What is going on? Where did this freaking month go? Where did the year go?
Yeah.
And I still haven't bought my Nurtacular flights, so there's that.
Ooh, it's getting close.
I know.
Don't tell Scott, though. All week on the morning stream, he's just been talking about how 6 weeks.
Unprepared he is.
Well, that too, but also just the fact that don't ever mention 6 and weeks in the same sentence and you'll just shudder. Yeah, no, Microsoft seems to be on a kick here where they're announcing all their little things outside of the E3 conference. And they started off with the big bombshell, which I think completes their 180, is a Kinect-less Xbox One.
Which, this new price point at $399 brings us right down in line with a PlayStation 4, right?
Yeah, so that is on par with the PlayStation 4. And it looks like, I think they said in June, you'll be able to go out and pick up an Xbox One for $399. And then the Kinect will be available solo in the fall.
Okay.
So it's interesting, and it's the same argument that people are making with, you know, another company that has a giant peripheral that no one loves attached to their system, you know, and I think it's really smart to give your customers a choice, you know, and Microsoft is doing exactly that with this, you know, Kinect out of the box. And if someone buys an Xbox One and says, hey, I kind of want a Kinect, they can go out and buy one. Is it really that hard to give your customers a choice? If you're Nintendo, evidently it is. But, Microsoft's got an Xbox One without the Kinect. They've also announced that prior to this, you had to have an Xbox Live Gold account to access paid apps like Netflix.
That made me so mad. Mm-hmm. I mean, now we've got the Apple TV, so we have Netflix there. So, I mean, I'm still paying for my Xbox Live subscription, but that's only because it's automatic. I don't think I've actually played anything on Xbox Live in possibly even since when we did Mass Effect for Extra Life. Might be the last time I actually played multiplayer. Mm-hmm. But yeah, ever since we got Netflix on something else, it was great, because when I was living by myself and watching Netflix on Xbox, it was like you were paying $8 for Netflix and then friggin' $16 for just to have internet connectivity, which I already had. It's just wires. It's just Microsoft being jerks.
Yeah, and the great thing about this is that they're actually offering a refund to people, prorated, if they want to cancel their Xbox Live because they don't need it anymore because it's their only Netflix machine. I'm sure they won't make you prove it, but I hate services that don't let you cancel your stuff on the system that you're using it on, and Xbox Live is a culprit of that. So I wasn't able to cancel my Xbox Live, so it automatically renewed itself for another year.
And, that sucks.
Yeah, and it's like $70.
At least mine
bucks.
Is month for month, and it's like, so in the end, I pay way more than you do since you have an annual subscription, but at the same time, like, I can just go in next month and go, yeah, I'm really not using you, off.
Yeah, and I can't remember the last time I used it. Probably, I think we may have done Mass Effect for a game night, but even then, I don't mind, like, buying a couple month cards and having them handy when I need them.
True.
And I think in the future I'll do that, at least until I get an Xbox One. But it's nice that Microsoft, again, giving customers, you know, a reason to choose their system by allowing them to do something that they can do for free on another system. Like, I understand paying for Live to have access to the multiplayer and stuff. That makes sense. Mm-hmm. But access to a paid subscription app like Netflix or Hulu or Amazon Video makes no sense.
Yeah.
So they've gotten rid of that. That's, you know, second announcement, Microsoft's listening. It's great stuff.
So would you buy an Xbox One without a Kinect? Oh. It seems like at least, you know, kind of this time last year, they were really, 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 really pushing how the Kinect was integrated into their operating system, and that basically you wouldn't get the Xbox One experience without the Kinect because of the, you know, gestures and the voice commands and, you know, like, just everything about the operating system and the interface being tied into the Kinect. So if you take the Kinect away and you lose that functionality, is it even worth the $400? Like, are you just completely getting rid of the experience of the Xbox One?
I don't think so. I mean, most people I've seen and talked to about the Xbox One, the Kinect is something you can use to navigate. You can talk to your Xbox saying, like, Xbox, Bing this, Xbox, show me TV, Xbox
can
launch.
I say Xbox, Google this?
No, you can't. Unfortunately not. But you need it, like, you'll need it to play games that like actually require the Kinect, like the Rare sports game, and probably a dance game that's going to come out sometime.
I was going to say, like, outside of the gimmicky dancey games, like, mm-hmm. if I want to sit and play the next Elder Scrolls, like, am I not going to be able to play because I can't do voice commands?
No, you'll be, yeah. So the, like, it's not required by any like AAA titles that we would care about, you know. Mm. And that's not me trying to be mean or anything. If personally. I would look at the Kinect as something probably worth having in the home, because if it actually works a lot better than the Kinect that's currently on the Xbox 360, that's also a plus. I like being able to, you know, use voice commands and stuff, but I would probably try it Kinect free first. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't go out and buy it as a bundle.
What if when the next Halo comes out, they say, you can only play Halo with Kinect?
Well, that's then yes.
Do you think that's something that they might do? That they might say, you know, excuse me, our original system design, mm-hmm. which is what we built Halo on, includes the Kinect. So Halo makes use of functionality in the Kinect, whether it is voice commands or motion or something. Do you think that's a possibility?
Probably not. I mean, now that Microsoft is essentially like pulling the two apart, like they're in a schoolyard brawl, and it's like, okay, no, you go in that corner, you go in that corner. Like, now that they're separated, they've even been talking to the press and saying, like, you know, now that Kinect is optional, it becomes a lot less important when we're selling this device to developers. You know, they're even talking about unlocking the extra power that was required to run that Kinect and putting it towards making games more graphically on par with the PS4. Mm. You know, there's been a lot of talk of the Xbox One versions not being as, you know, high-end as the PS4, you know, having a lower resolution, having a lower frames per second. Even if it's, like, minimal to the eye, it's still, like, numbers that NeoGAF geeks out about. You know? So they're even talking about that. Now, let's look at a title like maybe Fable Journey, which was a Kinect-only title. Do I think there's going to be a Halo Kinect-only title? Sure. It's not going to be Halo 5, but it'll be, like, a Halo shoot-off, probably.
Mm.
Get it?
Right. Yeah.
No. Chat room thought it was funny. Right, chat room? They're delayed. They're delayed. They're just, yeah, let's move on. Speaking of Halo, they actually, which was funny enough, I don't know if they did this to get ahead of a leak or something, but they announced essentially Halo 5.
Yes.
You know, like, Halo 5 Guardians launching fall 2015, which is, you know, my
fiance.
That's
a whole year longer than I thought it would take.
Yeah, exactly. Because especially when they said at last E3 saying that the journey for Halo on Xbox One starts in 2014, which is essentially we're paying millions of dollars to advertise a game coming out a year later.
Yeah.
You know, and that's just my, you know, my reaction. But I'm sure I'm wrong. There are probably 343 employees listening to this episode right now, you know, saying I'm wrong, but one.
Yeah. Sorry, Angus.
You know what? I would love for there to be something. I've always said that Halo is the game that gets me to buy an Xbox One. And I even said, like, looks like I'm buying an Xbox One in the fall of 2015, but, more
that's
of that
a long way off. And it is. You know, I have noticed, that I haven't really missed console gaming. Since I've gotten way more into PC gaming and mobile gaming, I'm not really feeling that void in my life. It's fun to sit on the couch, and when I do that, I'm really enjoying, like, I guess BioShock was the last one that I really sank my teeth into and played for an extended period of time on the couch, and I really enjoyed that experience, but I don't miss it.
Well, I mean, you're not stopping yourself from experiencing that by, you know, you've done, like, Joel did this with Batman. He pulled the computer, he put it up to the TV, and look at that, you got a console gaming experience.
That's true.
I did that with Bound by Flame.
I hate moving my doghouse. It's too heavy.
I am this close to buying little wheels that I can attach to the bottom of my computer, and you can do that because my friend has them and they're amazing. But then when you like hit a groove in the floor and your whole computer, don't do that. That's bad. But no, I mean, you can definitely emulate that. I know for me, when it comes to console gaming, it's the exclusives. There are no big exclusives on PC besides like some MMOs and stuff. And even then, that line's starting to blur with ESO coming to consoles.
Yeah, it's Diablo on console. And there's starting to be a lot more crossover there than there used to be.
But I don't know. I'm looking forward to it. And I mean, I can't remember the last time I asked you, like, what's the one, you know, series that gets you to buy one of these next gen consoles? Like, what's the first one that comes out that it's like, I gotta play this?
You know?
Like, well, for me, 3DS, it was Zelda, right?
Well, and that's the thing. Really, the only franchise that I have that is solely like makes me buy a system is Zelda. Even then, I don't know. Like, I feel like I would toy with the idea of a Wii U over Mario Kart, which I think we talked about before. That's kind of one of my other go-tos. Mostly they're Nintendo-based games. Most of the other things that I really, really enjoy, like Elder Scrolls, are cross-platform. Blizzard's PC only for the most part, obviously with the Diablo exception and the Hearthstone on iPad exception, but I'd have to say, if I had to pick a Microsoft title, it would be Fable, but we're not getting any more of those. I've never had a PlayStation, so I don't have a go-to PlayStation title.
Now, you mentioned Fable, and that's another title we're going to see at E3 for Microsoft, which is Fable Legends, and I'm right there with you. Like, I love Fable, but they're not giving us the Fable. Like, I'm not saying Fable Legends isn't going to be fun, but I can't get excited about a game I haven't played yet. You know, I kind of have to, you know, get more out of it. And really,
get excited about games you haven't played all the time. What are you talking about?
I'm talking about, like, getting excited for a pre-rendered trailer. Like, that Fable Legends trailer was just four dudes flipping around shooting arrows at goblins. I mean, come on. You can't get excited about that. But I know what you mean.
When you say that you haven't played yet, you mean that you haven't seen gameplay footage up.
Yeah, you're right. You interpreted my incorrect statement. Like, see, this is why we work, right? Like, I say gibberish, you run it through
I translate.
Exactly. if we ever did a solo show where it's just me talking about video games, there would need to be a transcription or something.
Yeah.
Sometimes it feels like we're a little rough on Microsoft, but I mean, I feel like they're the only company that can take it. Yeah, I mean, you remember what happened with Sony, like, we were rough on them last generation, and look how they're doing now. I mean, you're sitting on 7 million consoles sold of the PS4, and 5 million sold of the Xbox One. And I think it's strictly about attitude.
Yeah, that's a bigger gap than it sounds like, I think. 2 million units out of, like, I mean, both of them together have only sold 12 million units, so 2 million unit difference is quite significant, I think.
Yeah, and I think that I didn't, funny enough, being the Nintendo fanboy, you'd think I would have threw the Nintendo numbers in there, but I, more now than ever, know that they are in a different realm, and I don't even know. It'll be an interesting episode after E3 when Nintendo does something, hopefully.
Hopefully.
For God's sake, guys, do something.
Well, they did announce that the Mario Kart bundle, which I might get. You know, they're dangling those carrots.
Yeah, that's probably the first carrot that hasn't been a little rotten on the side, you know? Like, it's like spinning in the air. It's like, oh, that looks pretty good. It's like, oh, there's a giant moldy black spot on the back of it. Come on, Nintendo. Patch that shit. No, I mean, there's a rumor that also Microsoft putting all their Halo eggs in one basket with the Halo Master Chief Collection, which is Halo 1 through 4 remastered for Xbox One. And I find it hard to get excited about that.
Which is really funny because I looked at this and went, ooh, and I didn't even like Halo.
You hated Halo. That was like 6 months of torture. I'm pretty sure people, like, it's like listening to that conversation, it's like, man, what the hell? What kind of bet did Jocelyn lose? Ryan's making her play through every Halo game.
Every Halo game ever. That's true. But I think that was, first of all, some of those games were, you know, 8-year-old games, and I had no nostalgia that was kind of like making me want to play through those titles. I did enjoy Combat Evolved, so Halo 1, the anniversary edition.
Oh, okay.
I enjoyed that experience. But again, like, I played through it at my own pace. That was one that I got before we decided to play through all the Halos. And there was no pressure. I enjoyed some of the multiplayer. So, yeah, I don't know, man. That, I think, was just the difference.
Yeah, I could see that. I sometimes, you're right, because of the nostalgia being there, I was able to play through a lot of those titles, and I mean, most of them were on the previous generation, so that also helped my cause, but I don't know, I think if I already had an Xbox One, I'd be like, great, this is what we need, more content. Similar to how when I had the Wii U, I was excited about Wind Waker. Mm-hmm. I don't think Wind Waker HD was a game you go out and buy a system for, but you're certainly happy to have it because you've gone out and bought that box. So it's not confirmed yet, but I expect it to be. It seems like a no-brainer to me, and Sony was just making so much money off of those like HD collections they were doing. I was surprised that it took Microsoft this long.
I just realized I had a Skype message pop up from a friend asking if we were ready to play Smite, and I was like, oh, we're still live. And then I was like, oh crap, I think I just flashed my Skype conversation up onto the screen instead of Ryan's face. Oh well, it's all right.
Hey, a little teaser.
Yeah. We're playing Smite after this, guys.
Oh, Octane in the chat room. Well, thank you.
Oh, yeah. Such a stud.
Yeah, he looks like a chat room. but, yeah, no, I don't know. I'm looking forward to E3. What are you looking forward to? This is kind of where we get to start thinking about E3 because it's right around the corner. What are you looking forward to? That's what I want to end this on.
Is it okay if I say nothing?
Yes, it is, because we were talking about this last night before you came on, and we were saying if you take Nintendo out of the equation just because of the giant mystery box they've got, the mystery question mark box, if you take Nintendo out of that, I'm probably more excited about what Blizzard's going to have at BlizzCon with hopefully the new StarCraft expansion.
I feel like I am so in Blizzard's world right now with, like, really wanting to be in Heroes of the Storm. Obviously, I'm way into Hearthstone all of the time. They've got the new WoW expansion that I've pre-ordered and I'm super psyched for. Diablo is taking up a lot more time now than they ever did before. And, you know, like, I can't wait to get back into StarCraft with Legacy of the Void. Mm-hmm. So I feel like right now we're not going to hear anything about StarCraft 2, but, like, just because the whole team is on Heroes right now, right? So I feel like I'm so in Blizzard's world. I've got my ticket to BlizzCon. I'm super stoked for that. I know they're going to have a ton of really, really cool stuff. It's the 10th anniversary of WoW. Like, all of this stuff is so exciting. And then I look, I'm like, I don't have an Xbox. I don't have a PS4. I have a 3DS, but I'm not really stoked for anything that Nintendo's doing right now at all. I might get a Wii U, but Nintendo hasn't really been announcing stuff at E3 in the last 2 years, I guess. They haven't really had much of a presence. So if I was going to be excited, it would probably be for a new Zelda on Wii U, but I don't have a Wii U. So when it comes to E3, I'm just kind of like, give me BlizzCon.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you know what? Even if they do announce a new Zelda, it's not going to get you to buy a Wii U the next day because that thing ain't coming out until 2015.
Well, exactly. Yeah. Like I said, I think I might buy the Wii U just for the Mario Kart. Not expansion. The Mario Kart bundle. Thank you.
That game looks so good.
Yeah, it does look really good. It looks like a lot of fun. And I really, really like Mario Kart games. So that could convince me. And especially where you get free games on top of it. Like, it's a really, really, really good convincing bundle. I think it's the first thing Nintendo's done right in a really long time. And because, I mean, I've been hating on Wii U since they freaking announced the stupid thing. So for them to, like, offer me something that is actually making me consider buying the system means that they're doing something right. They finally turned me around. So, But even then, like, yeah, E3, like, E3, 23 days, yay, okay. Is that so bad?
No, I mean, it's good to manage your expectations. In the past, going into E3, I've been like, this is the year that Nintendo announces, you know, the new Metroid and the new Zelda and insert franchise I want to see in HD here. And every time you go in, it's like, we got a new Donkey Kong. So I thought, well, that's great, but it's, you know, it's awesome, but it's not exactly what everybody wants. And I think it's the same for every company. You want them to blow your socks off, and half the time they just end up half off. You know, it's like, it's impossible to just, you know, I'm going to skip right over that one. It's impossible to just meet your giant expectations. I think going into it, like, yeah, okay, I'm excited for games, but like, life is just so busy with current games and work and stuff that it's just, you can't get too excited, right?
Yeah. So, before we move into listener feedback, I just wanted to remind everyone that if you want to go show off your TGI pride, you can do so by going to slashloot.com. That's S-L-A-S-H, loot.com, to grab yourself a Gamers In t-shirt. They have tons of other awesome shirts, including designs by... Okay, is it Taylor or is it Carter? Because I keep switching it and I can't remember which one I switched it to, but one of the Johnson girls is an artist. Is it Carter? Okay, Carter Johnson is an artist and she does the Best Pals Star Wars shirt, which is super cool. As well as you can support all your other favorite podcasts like Azeroth Roundtable, which I'm actually going to be guesting on tomorrow at 5 p.m. Eastern or 5 p.m. my time. Shit, now I can't remember. Anyways, tomorrow evening I will be on Azeroth Roundtable, which is my favorite WoW outlet. Then you can also get support podcasts like The Morning Stream, Zombies Ate My Podcast, which is Ryan's zombie show, and The Angry Chicken. So go to slashloot.com and show off your podcast pride. So that does bring us to listener feedback, and we got a really great email from Josh this week. So he says, "Dear Jocelyn and Ryan, it's-a-me again, Josh. The purpose of this email is to express my utmost appreciation for all the hard work you do. I hope I've not been too intrusive," which, no, you have not.
You should be more intrusive is what we're
exactly
trying to say.
We want more people to be involved in what we do. Yeah. So, no. No one is ever overstepping. When you want to come game with us or hang out in our chat room or talk to us, whatever, bring it. So, admittedly, I've been having a blast. This has been the first time I've really jumped out of my shell to become part of a community that I have always wanted to be involved with, but was always too nervous to do. I eventually want to get into podcasting as well. The problem is that I'm not a social guy. I love video games and the journalism side of the community, but talking is not my forte. At one point, I even dismissed the idea of ever starting a podcast and decided to focus on blog reviews and gaming news, all because I was afraid. However, after listening to your show for weeks now and participating in all the fun you've had and partaking in this learning experience, I feel I'm ready to, at the very least, try podcasting. Tonight, I shoot my first podcast with some friends at my place. I'm terribly nervous but excited all the same. I know I would never have reached this point if it was not for your show and everything you do with your audience. Know that you have a positive impact on those who listen to you, no matter how many naysayers exist in the wonderful world of YouTube comments. That's a shout out to some stuff I was talking about on Twitter.
Yeah.
I just want to say thank you for everything you do. Keep up the awesome work. The gaming community is better with the Gamers In and everything associated with A-Move. Your favorite Dorito, just Josh. So thank
that
you
one down.
So much, Josh, because that, I think, is the best, my favorite email that I've ever received as a podcaster on Gamers In, on Angry Chicken. I can't even begin to express how happy I am that we've had this impact on you, because honestly, podcasting has changed my life. Mm-hmm. I used to be exactly the same as you. Really quiet, really reserved, didn't like presentations, didn't like, not necessarily being around people, but just I was really, 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 really shy. And podcasting, the Frog Pants community, the A-Move community, all of it has really brought me out of my shell and has let me embrace the fact that I'm a nerd and I'm a video game nerd and I like pushing buttons. And all of that is really, really fun. I mean, like, keyboard buttons.
I was like,
damn it, Ryan.
Well, she does like to piss people off, right? Okay, that makes sense.
That's true. But I know it's had a huge impact on me and my life, and I'm really glad that we've been able to help you to embrace this part of your life and come out of your shell. Ryan, do you want to add?
Yeah, I mean, these are the type of emails that that we love to get as podcasters, and mainly because I was there too. Like, I was like at that point where I listen to podcasts all day. I would love to do a podcast, and the best advice anybody can ever give you is to just do it. I mean, Nike, like, you got to give them credit. They got a good slogan there. Like, just get a mic, record with your friends, you know, and go from there and just keep doing it and have a blast. And people aren't going to understand what you're doing, which is fine, because eventually they'll get it. And if you ever have to explain it to old people, just say this: internet radio. And they get it. That's the easiest way. And then
totally get it.
You know, like, they can start talking
about it. Except my dad, he's like, internet? What's the internet?
Well, just tell him it's like, you know, they understand radio, right? So you could say it's like radio, except you have to, no, I guess. Damn it. I thought I had the perfect explanation, but you know, it's really cool to get emails like this and, to be encouraged, to see that we're encouraging people to do what we love, like podcasting is, I think, the reason podcasting is still around, you know.
Yep.
It's because we want other people to podcast. It's a crowded market, but it's a cool crowded market. It's like,
I never ever feel like there's any competition in podcasting. Yeah. No, I feel like, I mean, we plug numerous shows every week. We plug everything on our network, everything on other networks. Like, I think even just when we're talking about all the other t-shirts you can grab over on Slash Loot, I mean, the podcast that we mentioned, I think there's 4 different networks that are covered there.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's just, there's so much podcasting love because everyone just wants to hear everyone else's opinions. It's all usually really positive, and it's just this like free flow of thought and information, and everyone wants everyone else to succeed. And the more that you have listeners, the more that I'll have listeners, and you know, the more that we both have listeners, then the more conversation we can have and the bigger communities we can build. And that's really what it's about. So this email was just makes me yay.
It makes you smile.
Justin does podcasting. Yeah. Well, it makes me yay.
Yeah. The golden rule about podcasting is, you know, don't be a dick. And have fun. There's 2 golden rules. The first one's really important. The second one's really is equally important, you know, because we're saying that like everybody just plugs everybody and it's not a hostile, crowded market. The only time when podcasting becomes negative is when you're negative. And sure, you can like have some fun, and we rip on Nintendo a lot, but Nintendo knows we're joking.
Yeah.
But then we turn away and say like, no, Nintendo really is dumb. Don't tell Nintendo.
So if you guys want to check out Josh's brand new podcast, you can do so at theanykeygaming.com. So I think that pretty much does it for this week. We did want to take a second and thank our patron of the week, who is Lorenzo Flores. Thank you very much for your donation. We are trying to put it to good use. We have reached our first milestone goal, which is making the Gamers In Game Night on Thursday nights a regular thing. Why are you laughing at me? Oh, Ryan's not laughing at me. Ryan's laughing at the chat room. He tried to put a link in the chat room and it got blocked.
I can't even post a link into my own chat room. What's going on? Oh, that was, I was, yeah, sorry.
Here, let me do it.
You do it.
There you go. There you go.
I wanted to say our patron, Lorenzo Flores, I love that name. That's so awesome.
It is a great name. So if you too want to become a patron of the Gamers Inn, help us make game night not only an all the time thing, but an even better thing, because our patrons get the first invites into our games every Thursday night. So you can come talk to us, play with us live. And all of that is first and foremost for our patrons. And that is patreon.com/thegamersinn. I think that pretty much does it for us. If you'd like to visit us on the web, you can do so at gamersinpodcast.com. You can also find us on Amu TV, along with other fabulous podcasts, including Into the Nexus, Campaign Roundtable, Biggest Fan, The Angry Chicken, and Amu Radio. You can follow us on Twitter. You can find me, Jocelyn, at GISGamer. Ryan is at R. Murphy. And don't forget to follow the show at The Gamers Inn. The video versions of all our episodes can be found on our YouTube channel, without comments, which is youtube.com/JocelynMoffett. You can also find us on Facebook and Google+. If you'd like to email the show and tell us your thoughts on Microsoft's changes or E3 or what we've been playing, you can do so at info@gamersinpodcast.com. Before we go, I just want to give a quick shout out and thank you to Greg Moffett for creating our music. You can find him on Twitter @SoundsInfluence. We'd also like to thank Joel Duggan, who does all of our graphic work. You can find him and everything he does at joelduggan.com. So thanks for staying at the Gamers Inn, and remember, tune in next week. Bye, everybody.
Bye.